This is gross.
Oh, this is gross.
Oh, that's so gross.
Oh my God, that's gross.
Like, this is totally gross.
No, this is Jordan Gross.
Oh, Jordan Gross.
Oh, bless his heart. Jordan's not gross.
This is gross.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to This is Gross, episode 8, if you can believe that, with my good friend, Ben Hartsock, tight end for the Carolina Panthers. Thanks to everybody for following me on Twitter at J2TheGross. Getting some great feedback on there. And bear with me because I will get everybody on this show that you want to hear, especially when regular season time comes. This episode was recorded while we were at minicamp, before we broke for the summer, because now everybody is all over the place enjoying summer break. But hope you guys like it, and thanks for tuning in. Bye. Ben Hartsock, welcome to This is Gross. Finally, the dream becomes reality.
You know, I don't know how to say this, but I'm pretty much your biggest fan.
Well, you caught up quickly because you'd never listened to the show. And then one day you came in to the weight room and you're like, I did a marathon last night and I'm caught up.
Well, I'm up here without my wife and kids. They're still down in Georgia, so I'm living the bachelor life. So after practice, I've got literally nothing to do. So I went home one afternoon and I'd watched every Seinfeld rerun, Office rerun, 30 Rock rerun I could possibly
think of. So you're a comedy guy.
Yeah.
So you said, where's some comedy that I could just turn the lights down low and enjoy?
And I feel like you're really hitting your stride. Yeah. You know, the camping trip was interesting.
Wait, glamping.
Unique. Glamping.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like Piggy was definitely your best work to date.
He's solid.
And I feel like this is going to take it to the next level.
Me and you together.
Well, you know, I mean, we got, 21 years combined experience? You know,
going on 21.
Well, we're going to count it.
Let's do a little quick history of Benjamin Aloysius Hartsock. Is that your middle name? I just guessed.
No, Richard.
Oh, Ben Richard Hartsock.
Yeah.
You've lived a bit of the journeyman life.
That's right.
And, I know, here's the teams. Let's see if I get them right.
Uh-huh.
You've been on Atlanta.
Yeah.
You've been on the Jets.
Yeah.
You've been on the Titans.
Yeah.
I want to say Indy, is that right?
Yeah.
And Panthers.
That's right.
Is there another?
Nope, that's five.
That's pretty good, huh?
Five, yeah. Yeah, the order was wrong. Drafted to the Colts, spent 2 years there, a couple years with the Titans, year with Atlanta, 2 years with the Jets, and now this is my third with the Panthers, which is ironic. My longest tenures, assuming I make the squad this fall.
I think
fall,
you got a good
looking,
shot at it.
Good.
I'll talk to some people.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're going to be longest tenure with one organization.
Well, I know that your 15 minutes of fame came one Monday night,
mm-hmm.
and you caught a pass when you're a Jet in the end zone. And the first time I became a Hartsock fan is when John Gruden echoed these fine words. Big blocking tight end, Ben Hartsock, with the touchdown pass.
You've got to find the purists around the league that are watching for small technical. It's kind of like being a lineman.
Yeah.
You know, linemen don't get a whole lot of recognition, but, you know, Gruden gives you a shout-out. You take it. My mom, she recorded it. She shows it for people.
Often, is she posted it on her on her
Facebook.
Pinterest?
Yeah, Pinterest.
See, we're married, so we know Pinterest and all that stuff.
It is a drug for women.
Now, speaking of Pinterest, you guys are building a house down in Atlanta, Georgia, which, so when you're in the NFL, most guys, like, you're the norm, I would say.
Yeah.
A few years here and there.
Yeah.
So you got to find, like, some random location that you're going to decide is where your home address, even for nothing else than to have bills sent to. I mean, because you're moving around so much.
For us, it was when we had kids. You know, we grew up in Ohio. My wife and I both grew up in Ohio. Go to Indianapolis, uproot, move there. Uproot from Indianapolis, move to Tennessee, and we moved to Atlanta. But then when we were in Atlanta, we started having our kids.
Oh, yeah.
And that's when you get that desire to put down some roots. And we found a group of people. The great thing about football is you meet guys from across the country. Like last year, I had some free time, and I wrote down every state in the union.
For your road trip.
Right, and so I went through, and I have 40 out of 50 states where I've played with a guy on whatever team that I'm close enough with that I ought to be able to crash on their couch when I'm in the area. And so 40 out of 50 states, and I got the good ones. I got Alaska.
Uh-huh.
I got Hawaii.
Yep.
I got Idaho.
Now, do you go with me or Richie Brockle?
It's a combination. There'll be dual visitations.
So it'll be a multi-nighter.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, I feel good. You can sleep on my couch
right.
for sure.
Right.
But you might be one of the only guys in the NFL that can be proud to say that he lives in a double-wide trailer.
That's exactly right.
And that is not knocking a double-wide, because I've been in some, and they're pretty nice. Now, while you're building the new house, rather than rent something, being the entrepreneur you are, you went ahead and said, you know what, let's just make a purchase here, get the double-wide.
Well, it's worked out great, because instead of waiting the 3 years or whatever for the house to get built, and you know, by the time that was finished, we'd live in another house. We've gotten to enjoy the land. My kids, we ride around on four-wheelers, and my kids play in the stream. And yesterday, our cat
killed. Wait, there's a stream?
Oh, there's a stream,
yeah. What acreage of land?
We're 10 acres. 10 acres.
10, that's enough.
That's perfect. It's perfect. It's
with live water.
Yeah, with water. It can dry out if it gets droughty.
The dirt bike, though, bug in your family is pretty high, right?
We're into the motorsports.
So you got your wife and two girls.
Yeah.
And the dirt bikes get ridden.
Yeah. We're into the motorsports, and it's a ton of fun. I grew up on a farm in Ohio, and so I had hundreds of acres where we grew up to ride around on. And so 10 is about the minimum to where you can get into like second, third gear and be able to ride around a
safe with the kids.
That's right.
So if you had your druthers, though, are you like, I mean, you're like motocross with the whoop-de-doos and the and then when you go off jumps, do you like kick it into a tabletop with a can-can and a Superman,
I'll pretend like I can. I'll pretend
like I can. Do you get air, though? Like, what's the highest? Since you've been in the NFL, what's the highest you've been off the ground in a motorcycle? Don't lie.
Well, I don't know that this is probably great stuff to talk about on the Panthers.
Well, you've never been injured.
Well, not yet.
No, you haven't. And you're a safe rider.
That's right.
Well, and a professional athlete.
That's right.
So if anybody can do it, you can.
Well, and I'm a firm believer. We have guys that are into all kinds of stuff. There are guys that climb mountains. There are guys that wakeboard. I don't do anything that I'm not comfortable with. I'm not going to go downhill skiing because I don't know anything about that.
But I downhill ski.
But you've done it since you were young.
Right.
Right. And so you grew up doing it. So it's pretty second nature to you. This is second nature to me riding around on the dirt bike.
So you never answered this question, though.
I don't know.
Have you been north of 6 feet off the ground?
I'd say yeah.
What's that land? What's that feel like when you're flying? Because I rode dirt bikes growing up, but like, I've always been a little nervous jumping.
I'm not a big fan of golfing. And there's a bumper sticker that says all golf courses should be motocross tracks.
Yeah.
I'm a firm believer in that.
Nice.
And so it's, to me, when you ride a motorcycle or when you're riding a dirt bike and you kind of clear a jump and you land and it's like super smooth, that's like the golfer that has that perfect hit.
Yeah.
It's pure. It comes off right. And it's like, ooh, if I could do that, that's what makes you go back for more.
Yeah.
That's what, to me, riding a dirt bike.
And then you grab a Monster Energy drink and slam her down,
right?
And like do like stick your tongue out and be like,
I'm more of a Red Bull guy.
You are. Yeah. Okay. I got a motorcycle story with my kids.
Yeah?
Would you like to hear it?
I'd love to.
So when Teddy was 3, I was like, I'm going to get him a 50. So I got him a Yamaha PW50 with the training wheels.
Yeah.
I'm like, he's 3. He's plenty old to be on a motorcycle with a throttle, right? So I load him up on their helmet, long jeans, long sleeve shirt, gloves, the whole thing. And I'm holding my daughter in a Bjorn because she was like an infant at the time. Okay. All right, buddy, I show him the throttle. We go through a little walkthrough session. He's got it. On your mark, get set, go. Whee! And I even had the governor down. Throttle wide open, doesn't turn, slams into a curb, flips the bike on his side, throttle stuck open. He's crying.
It's whiskey throttle.
That's
a term in the motocross world that's known as whiskey throttle.
When it gets stuck open?
When you panic and you know your automatic is you grip tighter. When you grip tighter, it opens up the throttle.
So my 3-year-old had whiskey throttle.
Whiskey throttle at age three.
Well, it set us back 2 summers.
Yeah.
And now he'll start riding again. But
that wreck is known as a yard sale. When you just completely tear yourself
really?
Up.
Really?
Yeah, it's known as a yard sale.
So he whiskey throttled into a yard sale.
Into a yard sale, yeah.
I'm going to tell him that. He'll probably think it's cool.
And when you're talking about it, you talk about how you got wadded up.
I got wadded. I see, I've heard that. Yeah. That carries over to other
all
sports.
The extreme sports, they have their own. They've got their own dialect.
Yeah. I would dare to say that this spring, you have been a man on a mission. Would you care to elaborate on that?
Well, it's one of those things where every offseason you have goals and you want to try to improve your weaknesses, you know, work on your strengths but improve on your weaknesses. And I kind of saw an opportunity to, you know, show some down-the-field abilities, catch the ball
a little bit.
Change your press releases a little bit. That's kind of what I've been saying, trying to change the press release.
Wow. Well, it's out there, and there's a buzz. That's all I'm going to say. And I haven't seen any whiskey. Well, you did whiskey throttle, but that's a good thing when you're running a go route down the middle of the field. And you haven't yard sailed yet.
Well, it's one of those things where my career, I mean, up to this point, the most notorious moment in my career has been choking in the lunchroom and doing the Heimlich, having the Heimlich
oh,
done,
yeah.
done on me by Jeremy Shockey.
Jeremy Shockey saved your life. And it was a pork chop,
right,
wasn't
it? So I'm not a very well-known guy. And so, but the thing is, you know, I've been around. I've stuck around.
Oh,
you're
yeah.
a survivor. And so the joke I always talk with Big House, our strength coach, is you can't hide for 10 years in this league.
You cannot.
You can't hide. And so, you know, I found my niche being the blocking guy, and it's a role that I'm glad to do. But when you get the opportunity, you like to show a little pizzazz.
Yeah, you should.
Show a little sizzle.
The best moment for you last year, in my opinion, was we were playing Chicago, and you were running like a crossing route, and you caught it, and you just assumed that you'd be instantly tackled because that's what normally happens.
Took it up the sideline.
But you turn around, and there's daylight.
The best part was I wasn't even supposed to be on the field.
No.
Barnage was supposed to come on and replace me, and as soon as the play got called in the huddle, I said, oh, yeah, I'm not supposed to be in here. And so I run the route, and I remember it was a halftime adjustment, and they told us that route would probably be open for that play, and sure enough, the ball comes, and I'm running up the sideline. And I heard through the grapevine that our former offensive coordinator, Chudzinski, he was up in the booth going, what's Hartsock doing in there?
Yeah. He's only supposed to block.
I guess it's almost like if I go downfield, the coaches are concerned that like I'll throw the Earth's axis off. You know, it's this.
Well, you do have to have hands, and you would have actually pretty soft hands.
I think so.
But they can also, you know, get them onto somebody and move them. Which
I appreciate
it. And you and Greg Olson, I must say, are – I'm going to say he's more underrated than you
yeah.
because he, I think, doesn't get anywhere near the credit he should. But a close runner-up to that is Ben Hartsock
yeah.
and the ability to do a lot of different things.
Olsen doesn't – he's one of, if not the best tight end, really all-around player. It means more to him to
oh, yeah.
be a well-rounded player. He really cares about what he does. And, you know, a lot of times when you get to be – kind of that starting marquee tight end, and you catching a lot of passes, you let the run blocking, you let the pass blocking kind of go to the wayside. And he really works on it, and, you know, real smart about the game. So, you know, I'm gassing him up here a little bit.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you're doing that because he listens to these, like, religiously. And if we, like, when Piggy said he was a loudmouth, we haven't heard
that.
The end of that yet.
Well, and, you know, he's a little sour right now that he's not gotten his opportunity to
be on yet. Well, I'll do it during the season, and he'll give that because we're going to start promoting him for more accolades.
Yeah.
So I got a whole plan here.
This one's more like a soft opening and then the grand opening.
You're
for
like
for the podcast.
You're the family and friends that come in for the free meal. Yeah. And make sure that everything's running
right.
It's
the pilot episode.
I do, though. You told me something this offseason that I loved, and you said you have your standard of strength that you have to build back up to. So before you come back for offseason workouts. So, like, when we go home after the season, there's usually, like, a little rest time. And
yeah.
at the end of the season, you're usually at your weakest
yeah.
moment of
mm-hmm.
the year because you're what I like to call skinny fat because you're beat up and you're just hanging in there. But then you say, before we start off-season workouts with a team, I've got to be able to do these three things.
I got to get my – it's your benchmarks. You have to hit your benchmarks.
And for 10 years, it's been working.
Yeah, and it's got there. And it took me longer this year. It took me to the last workout on the last week before
well,
our
off-season
started. It's just a bench press. I have to be able to do 315 for three.
Yeah.
And for hang cleans, I need to be able to do above 315, 330 or so
yeah.
for three. And then on squats, I need to be over 405, 415 for three. And I got to get there, and like it was getting me tense. And I didn't tell the coach. I didn't tell the coach that I trained with down in Georgia about it until after I had made it.
Oh.
I said, "Listen, you don't realize how big that moment was, because if not, my career was going to be in an absolute tailspin."
Right? Because you said, "No, now I'm
because you're
we're
mentally,
all such head cases."
Yeah, you're mentally, you're thinking, "Okay, I've lost a step. It's over."
Oh yeah,
you know,
this is the end.
So I got it, and you know, it's worked out well.
It's pretty impressive though to have those goals and set that stuff, because I think that's what gets you by year to year, is like little goals to reach.
Because
we're on like a continuous clock always. You build up, there's a countdown till when the season starts, then there's a countdown to when training camp's over, then when the preseason's over, then the regular season, and then once the end of the season comes, there's a countdown to when off season starts.
Yeah.
So yeah, you gotta have the goals for all of that stuff. And I'm glad that you have mastered that art.
You find your groove after a few years.
Especially the art of not hiding.
You find your groove.
Let's talk a little bit about the experience of playing with Jeremy Shockey for one season.
Mm-hmm.
That guy has to go down as one of my most memorable teammates ever.
When I got signed to the Panthers, it was right after the lockout ended, and he was the only guy on the roster. And so when I got signed, I thought, oh, man. Jeremy Shockey, you know, he's got a bit of a legend
oh, yeah.
coming into it.
An aura.
And I can say after the fact that he lived up to and even exceeded my expectations.
No, he was an unbelievable character to have. He should have played like in the 70s.
Yeah.
Because that would have been, I mean, he wouldn't even have been a normal guy then.
Yeah, no you know? Doubt.
But he did things the right way because he was in his 10th year, when I was in my 9th year, but he was a year younger than me in life.
Came out super early.
And you actually somehow managed the complete opposite of that. I think you might be older than me.
I'm older than you,
but you're
a
year younger than me, and I was in college 5 years. So where's the math on that, and what in the world were you thinking?
Well, the summer birthday, I started school late. I went to preschool for 2 years.
Because when's your birthday?
July 5th.
Yeah, I'm the 20th.
Yeah, July 5th. And so I started school. Like, I was 18 when I graduated.
Right.
So that was old.
You had a bit of a mustache. Yeah, you could buy lottery tickets.
Fully developed. Didn't get carded. And so then I went to college, and they redshirted me. So that was 5 there. So the next thing you know, you come out and you're a 24-year-old.
And now you're going, geez, I would have rather been slow in preschool than. Yeah. So you're in your 10th year, but like if you would have played your cards right, you could be in your 12th or 13th year.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you'd still be hitting your marks.
Yeah.
Which is what's incredible because now you're like stealing yours. I always tell guys, like, if you can come out and you are going to get drafted, God bless you and do it.
Yeah.
Because the
window's closing every day.
I'm in my 11th year. I'd love it if I was in my 12th year.
Yeah.
You know, why not?
Yeah.
Well, we're getting on summer break, so I expect you to come back healthy on your dirt bike riding and, just be safe, especially driving back and forth to Atlanta, because I know that
you got to fill the time. That gets to be a pretty slow drive. Back
you can
forth.
Only stop and buy so many fireworks.
I've texted you pictures of myself driving.
Sleeping.
I've texted you pictures of fake sleeping as I'm going down I-85.
Exactly. That is, and I text you back. That's dangerous, bud.
But I tricked you to where you only saw one eye. The other eye was open.
There could be highway patrol officers listening right now, so yeah. We're not going to do that anymore.
Never again.
All right. Well, thanks. Let's get out of here and go. Celebrate.
I'm super excited about how this went, man.
Celebrate life.
Super jazzed.
I'll get you back later, too. Once I've gone through all, like, the grand opening people, now I'm back to just, like, my repeat customers.
I've got more juice.
We didn't even talk about anything serious at all, and, you know, we're done.
Yeah, we need to spend more. I got more stories about the double wide.
Okay, we'll hit the double wide next time. Thanks, bud.
All right.
That wasn't so gross.
No, that was pretty gross.
I've heard grosser. Is it grosser or more gross?
That was gross.